Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. Gates to open wide, he will wash away my sins, let his little child come in. Hallelujah. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
You just listened to a group of angels that dropped in from well, no, not really. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, August the 17th, in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Tom Baker, all by myself, except for what do we got? 60 people in here?
Not quite.
We're talking to people who are in Emmanuel Lutheran Rosebud, here in Missouri. I've preached there occasionally, haven't I?
Yes, you have. You've helped us out in our vacancy the past year.
Yes, and that's Jim, who brought a lot of students with them, and one mother. We won't. She's taking pictures, so that's good. They're both parochial school students, Jim, as well as their friends.
That's correct.
And they just sang, Jesus Loves Me, Alleluia. So, we have three of them at the mics right now, Dalton, Jordan, and Jersey. Let's start with Dalton and speak right into the mic, Dalton. What grade are you in?
Seventh.
Seventh grade. Oh, did you fail last year? Or? No. You didn't fail?
No.
No, okay. Well, all right. And what's the school you go to?
Emmanuel Lutheran in Rosewood?
Yes. Yeah, they have a parochial school there. And let's ask Jordan, what grade are you in?
I am in sixth grade.
Sixth grade. And Jersey?
I am in sixth grade.
Okay. Do they ever talk about Jesus there?
Yes, every day.
All the time.
Oh, that's good. Yes, they talk about Jesus. And in fact, that's probably Jesus calling somebody on the phone right now. It was the mother, wasn't it? Yes, okay. She's probably got a call from her husband. What are you guys doing and stuff? And all righty. So Dalton, Jordan, and Jersey. Dalton, do they have confirmation in grade 7?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the thing you were learning this week? Because school just started a little bit ago, right?
No, we start on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So did you have confirmation last year? In grade 6?
Yeah.
I see. What was the kind of most important thing that you learned in confirmation instruction when they're talking about the Bible?
About Jesus and how we can tell other people about him?
Yes. Now, sometimes you can tell people about Jesus, and that's what this program is all about, Law and Gospel, is sometimes you can't give them the gospel. Because you don't give good news to somebody until they hear the bad news. And the bad news is the law. If you tell somebody that their sins are forgiven, But they don't think they have any sins. Well, then you really shouldn't say that because they're going to think it's foolish. Jordan, are you a sinner?
Every day people sin, so yeah.
Oh, so you're part of people. That's right. Yeah, in fact, what we sing in the hymns, as well as we say in the liturgy, is that I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But Jersey,
yes?
do you think pastors ever sin?
They're just like regular people, so yeah.
Oh, wow, that's good. Yes. I thought I would be an exception here, but I guess I'm not. That's because you probably heard some of my sermons when I was preaching at Emmanuel Rosebud. Jim, where is Emmanuel Rosebud?
We're just west on Highway 50 of Union, about 20 miles.
Okay.
On Highway 50.
Yeah, in fact, I go 44, turn right on 50, and just keep on going until I hit the church, because the church is actually on the highway.
That's correct, right along the highway.
Yes, and it's a beautiful school there. And right now, are you vacant?
We are. We're in a vacancy. We have been since June of 2015. We're in the call process. We're taking names from the congregation right now.
I hate to correct you, Jim, but if you were vacant, Jesus wouldn't be there.
Yes, we know Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered.
That's right. So a congregation is never vacant because Jesus is always there in the preaching and ministry and communion. But also, what you're talking about is an under-shepherd.
That is correct.
Which is a pastor. And so you've been in the process of calling right now. And so we'll keep that in our prayers. So, Dalton, what would you like to say about the church and the school? Anything?
I like it.
Good. Jordan?
Well, it's a really good school and teaches you a lot of stuff. So,
what other subject do you learn besides religion?
Like in school?
Yes.
Math, science, social studies.
Yes, math. I never was very good at math. That's why I became a pastor. We pastors don't have to use math, so that's pretty good. Jersey, do you use a computer?
On occasions.
Yes. Do your parents let you have your own one that you can play games on and stuff?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. So this is really a strict congregation, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, a strict mother, yeah.
Oh, strict. Oh, are you the mother of everybody here? Okay. No, our school just began giving computers to the children using a program called Google. Okay. And it is fascinating. The public school has it in the area. But the kids keep their computer. They go home. They do their homework on the computer. Their children who do that, their parents can see how well they're doing and this sort of thing. It might be something that Emmanuel Rosebud will want to look into. Because it's a really good way of helping them to learn. In fact, one of the things we're going to be doing is having the students make games up to learn memory work. And so we're going to have to learn a little bit more about those computers. So we've got Dalton, Jordan, and Jersey here. Who would like to take their place and say something? Anybody put your hand up? Okay. Why don't the three that Jim is pointing to... Dalton, Jordan, and Jersey, if you would stand up, and then we're going to have new names here. So, who are the new names?
Samuel.
Samuel.
Laura.
Laura.
And Rachel.
And Rachel. All right, sit down, put the microphone up to your mouth almost, and Samuel, what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Seventh. And what do you like about confirmation? What did you learn in confirmation that you think is important?
About spreading the word of God and learning that he died for our sins.
Excellent. You know, that's the key point of every passage in the Bible, is that it's all about Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're reading, but it's about Jesus all the time. And Laura, what grade are you in?
I'm going to be a senior in high school.
Senior in high school? Wow. How can you do that when you're only 12 years old?
I'm not 12.
Oh, you're not 12?
No.
Oh, are you older?
I'm 17.
Oh, you're 17. Okay. Oh, what high school do you go to there?
Owensville.
Owensville. So that's a public high school. Have you had the opportunity to talk about what you learned in confirmation with anybody there yet?
Yeah, my friends mostly.
Well, excellent. Do they ever argue with you?
Not usually.
Yeah, that's good. Because you're in a pretty good area, a lot of Christians there and such. I usually figure out it's a good area if you have good restaurants, and so far I've been taking the four of them, right?
That's right.
But you don't have any White Castle.
Thank goodness.
No, oh, thank goodness. Don't say that. Boy, I tell you. And Rachel, what grade are you in?
I'm going to be a freshman in college.
Freshman in college? What college are you going to?
I'm going to East Central College in Union.
East Central in Union. I'm unaware of that. And have you visited there yet?
I have. It was just last week, I think.
And part of the thing about visiting a college, this is a public college, right?
Yes.
What you're going to find out that they cannot say things a lot of times that you hear at Emmanuel Rosebud when you were in the parochial school there?
Yes, I went for 9 years.
And what was the thing about confirmation that kind of excited you? What do you remember best?
I really liked going through the catechism and doing Martin Luther's prayer every morning.
Yes. Oh, wow. I just met with the catechism parents that I'm going to be teaching at Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm. I'm kind of there full-time right now, and I meet with the confirmation twice a week and the public school confirmation on Tuesday nights, and I gave them their memory work for the whole year, little parts of the catechism. But one of the things I did not put down, and that's good that you reminded me, is the morning prayer by Luther. When we go through the catechism, who can tell us what's the first part of the catechism? The Ten Commandments, that's right. Ten Commandments. Why don't we start with commandments? Why don't we start with Jesus? We start with the commandments because people need to know they need Jesus. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and there was a buffet or something and you're totally filled? You can't eat anything. And you walk out and somebody hands you a big pie to eat. Would you eat it?
Nope.
No, of course not, because you're full. A lot of people are filled with themselves, filled with their own egos. They think that they don't need a Savior. And so when you tell them about Jesus, they don't think they need Jesus because they're not as bad as, say, their neighbors or this sort of thing. So when you witness to someone, it's kind of good to start with the commandments. What follows the commandments in the catechism? The second part was, anybody know? How about you, Samuel?
The creed.
Very good. The Apostles' Creed. And there's three parts to that. And what do they talk about? The Father, the
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And if you look at the creed carefully, it doesn't tell you just who they are, but what they did for you. See, that's the difference between Christianity. Laura, what do you have to do to get to heaven? What works do you have to do?
You don't have to do any works, but you believe and baptized.
Excellent. Boy, that's a great answer. Because our assurance is baptism. Because why? When you were baptized, God connected a promise to you in baptism that you don't get anywhere else. And so that's why if you're ever asked, are you going to heaven? You should say, I certainly am because I was baptized, because God connects a promise there. So Laura, with your age and such, you're also taking the Lord's Supper?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at Emmanuel, it's what, every other week?
The first and third.
The first and third, yes.
She's a member of St. John's in Drake.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Why did you let her come?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Okay.
She was willing.
Yes. No, I've never been to St. John's in Drake. I've been to a number of other congregations in that area, but I'm not going anywhere right now because I am kind of working with, like I said, Trinity Orchard Farm. Their pastor left for another state, and he went to a little town, and I can understand why he took the call there, because living there are 11 of his grandchildren.
Wow.
11. Do any of you have any grandchildren?
I do.
Oh, you do. Okay. All right. Do you? I'm looking at the mother. No, not yet. No. So, the most important thing that we do in the Christian church, particularly as Lutherans, is to bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord and the nurture. That means that Jesus can help you in anything that happens to you. When you start going to public schools, they may say things that you feel contradict God's word. And that's why it's important that we have you come to a parochial school, because there you're kind of trained as to what God's word says, and you can therefore discuss things. Now, Samuel, Laura, and Rachel, you're on the air. And like I say at the beginning, I have at least 8 people listening to us throughout the world. What would you like to say to any of your friends who might be listening? Let's start with Samuel. What friend would you like to say hi to?
I'd like to say hi to my best friend, Carter.
Carter. Okay, Laura?
I'd like to say hi to Caitlin Camper.
And Samuel. Rachel. Excuse me.
I think I'd like to say hi to my grandma. It'd probably make her happy.
Oh. How old is she?
92.
92. Wow. Yeah, I got another year to go before I hit that. But, yeah, does she live near you?
She actually lives in the nursing home that I work at.
Oh, wow, you work in a nursing home.
Yeah,
that's pretty nice.
I see her almost every day.
Wow, that's kind of nice. Yeah, my mother lived quite a distance away, and I always went home at Christmas. You know why?
Cookies.
Because what?
Cookies. That's why I'd go home.
Very good. It was German cake. She would make that for Christmas. And the other thing, if I didn't come home, she'd take me out of the will. Are those good reasons to go home and see somebody? No. The reason that we go home is because we love our grandmother. And we love all our family. Do you have to go to a church to go to heaven?
No.
No, that's correct. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven, because you're already on your way to heaven when you're baptized. So why do you go to church? And this is really important. I don't know how many of you are going to fall away from the church, but almost 60% of students, when they get to college, tend to leave the church. Then once they get married and have children, they do tend to come back. But part of the reason, I just did a funeral recently, why it's important to go to church and Sunday school and Bible classes is because you get something at church you can't get anywhere else. And that's God's comfort. You are going to be really tempted, and you're going to fall into all kinds of sin, and you're going to have all kinds of problems. Like you may be driving down the street trying to get to church on time and you get a flat tire. If you don't believe in Jesus, you may get mad at God. Because you're not very happy that you got this flat tire. But when you understand, is there anything that happens in your life, and we'll ask Samuel, Laurel, and Rachel here, that God is not in control of? Anything? No, he's in control of everything. Even when you sin, he never lets you sin beyond what you're able to endure. That's a Bible passage. So that with the sin, he'll give you a way of escape. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. By the way, did you memorize the books of the Bible when you were in confirmation?
Yes.
The order of them. What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Yes. And so you need to know like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and 1 Thomas. Is that right? No, that's not right. There is no First Thomas. Anytime I'm trying to prove something to someone that's not in the Bible, I always say, well, that's in 1 Thomas 6:8. They go, oh, really? I didn't know that. Yes. No, that's why anytime you're trying to talk about God, you really need to use God's word. And I understand you're going to be singing another hymn right now.
Sure.
And the name of that hymn?
This hymn is called Baroka, and this is, God gave the blessing to Moses and said, Moses, tell your brother Aaron about this.
Yes.
Tell all the Israelites.
All right. Please go ahead with that.
Page 110.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And give you peace, and give you peace forever. And give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever.
That's called the benediction. We often say it at the end of a worship service. And what kind of peace are we talking about? Samuel, Laura, or Rachel? Does that mean nothing bad is going to happen in your life? Let's go with Laura.
No, it means that God will always be with you no matter what happens.
That is really important. Have you ever had an argument with someone, you're not at peace with them, and they're sometimes you try and reconcile with them, which that means trying to get back with them in their good graces. What do you have to do to get reconciled, for God to get reconciled to you? Now listen carefully to the question. What do you have to do for God to be reconciled to you? Answer?
Nothing.
Very good. Nothing. Because God is already reconciled to you. The problem is that human beings aren't reconciled to God. They don't like God. And why don't they like the true God? Because he says you're a sinner in need of a savior. And have you ever gone to school and somebody looks at you and say, boy, why did you wear that today? You don't look very good. Does that make you feel good when they say that? But you see, that's what God says to every human being, that you don't look very good to me, and that's because of sin. So what did God do to get reconciled to you? How did he get rid of your sins?
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross. You can almost say that for almost any question I ever ask, that Jesus died on the cross. And you see, what happened on the cross is that he took upon himself the punishment that you should have gotten. And he therefore paid it. Remember the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's right. God the Father forsook Jesus because he had become sin for you. Do you know when Jesus became sin for you from God's point of view? This is a hard question. It occurred at his baptism. John the Baptizer baptized Jesus with the baptism of repentance. And John even said to Jesus, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, John, you have to baptize me. It is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. What did Jesus mean? He meant that at the beginning of creation, the Holy Trinity decided that Jesus would do two things to take care of your sin. Number one, he had to become a human being. That's what Christmas is all about. He became a human being because only human beings can die for human beings. And number two, he died for your sins. And that's what the Christian message is about. That is why heaven is your home, because Jesus took care of your sins. Jim, any closing comments?
This group was, we started several years ago, and we call it our Wednesdays. And this is the last Wednesday this summer. Maybe Rachel could tell us just what we do on a Wednesday, a normal Wednesday.
Rachel?
As a youth group.
Sure. On Wednesdays, we get together at about 9 in the morning, a little early for me. We gather in a circle, and we have a devotion, and we sing a couple hymns and get ourselves all woken up. Then we pile in our cars, and we go around usually to a nursing home or to relatives or people of the congregation, and we sing for them, and we'll have a devotion with them, and then we break for lunch, one of my favorite parts, and we then take everybody swimming, have our traditional watermelon, and go home for the day.
Well, that sounds really interesting. And folks who are listening, if you have students in your school and would like to come and be interviewed here on the radio, just get a hold of me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I already last night told the folks at Trinity Orchard Farm that we're going to be bringing in their students. So let's all together say, God bless you, to the people who are listening when I count to three. One, two, three.
God bless you.
And tomorrow we'll be with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Program. Make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.